They say that everything is bigger in Texas. Some might argue that it isn't that everything is bigger, it's that there's more of it. Of everything, that is, including strange and unexplainable phenomena. UFOs, or UAPs, are no exception, and the state has long played host to strange lights in a starry sky. In 2021 alone, the Lone Star State and surrounding territories have borne sightings which may indicate a pattern of activity in the skies of the central southwestern United States. Join us tonight as we examine a few of these sightings, including one by a professional athlete and another that has previously been unreported. That's today on Hey Strangeness.
Let's face it, your veterinarian might be fantastic with dogs and cats and other stupid, boring domestic animals, but they just aren't equipped to deal with the special needs of paranormal entities. Out of one veterinarian surveyed, 100% of veterinarians surveyed said that they would not be comfortable giving care to a Sasquatch. At Cryptid Care, our veterinarians have over 10 days of experience working with Sasquatch, Wendigos, Oguas, Chupacabras, and many more animals that may or may not exist. My Wendigo cracked a tooth on a bony jogger. I took him straight down to Cryptid Care, and they fixed him right up. Now he's back to howling in the night and devouring the hapless woodsman he hunts down with a merciless and unrelenting hunger. Thanks, Cryptid Care. Warning, Cryptid Care is not a legitimate veterinary clinic. No actual veterinarians work here. Do not keep cryptids as pets. Cryptid Care, here when you need us.
Konnichiwa, minasan. Yokuso wa Hey Strangeness desu. Kono podcasto wa totemo hen desu ne. Boku no namae wa Aaron desu. Sara-san.
Hi.
O genki desu ka?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I've had a pretty good couple of weeks. They've been kind of hectic. I have some news. I got to be a guest on a couple of my favorite podcasts.
You did. It was really exciting watching you.
It was so much fun.
Those episodes.
Yeah. I was on Wednesdays We Talk Weird with Ashers and Pat O. Awesome folks. Really enjoy talking to them a lot. And then I got interviewed by Jeremiah Byron. On Bigfoot Society Live, and Jeremiah interviews a lot of people, so that was really cool. That was kind of a pipe dream come true, so that was fun. And then the October edition of Paranormality Magazine is out, and I have two articles featured in there. One is an interview with David Weatherly, and the other is a review of On the Trail of UFOs, Dark Sky from Small Town Monsters.
So proud of you.
Thank you. Next, we have to do an appearance together.
What's today's topic?
Today, we are talking about UFOs or UAPs.
They're real.
In Texas. They're real. What was that?
They're real.
They are real.
They're real. They're out there.
And this episode might have been more impactful a year ago before the government disclosure report thing came out.
I mean, let's just add it on.
Yeah.
One more episode about UFOs and aliens, why not?
Yeah, and this is like a paranormal podcast. We have to do an episode on UFOs. But specifically, we're going to talk about UFOs in Texas. Kind of without meaning to, all of our first season has been about stuff in Texas because it's close by and it's easier for us to investigate. So today, I guess we're going to stick with that theme.
Kim.
Sound good?
Sure.
All right. So let's get into it. We're going to talk about a couple of historical UFO sightings in the Lone Star State, and then we're going to move up to the modern day, and then we've got some pretty cool original evidence to share that I'm very excited about. So we'll get to that, and it's going to be a great time.
Okay, go.
All right. So, are you familiar with the Aurora UFO incident?
No.
Okay. Are you familiar with Aurora, Texas at all?
No.
Okay. I'm not either. It's a small town.
I think you forget how big this state truly is.
No, I don't. It's big. Aurora is a small town. It's further out west, I think northwest. It's pretty far from us. Good several hours drive. On April 17th in 1897, a mysterious object crashed in the small town of Aurora. It actually hit and took out a windmill on a guy's farm who I think was the judge of the town, like the local judge, if I remember correctly. That's kind of neat. But anyway, the ship crashed, or craft, whatever it was, crashed on this guy's farm. And the local newspapers reported the occupant, because there was a pilot of this craft, as being, quote, not of this world, and, quote, a Martian. And this was the Dallas Morning News. So this was like a legit publication, not some weird 1800s tabloid. The newspaper reported...
Is that supposed to impress me? Dallas Morning News.
Well, I'm just saying, it was like an official... it's like an official newspaper. I know Dallas is not impressive.
Not to me.
Not to me either. We live there, so I'm just going to lay that out. Dallas sucks! But anyway, the pilot was apparently buried with Christian rites, and you can, to this day, that's in quotes, that's what the newspaper said, Christian rites, and to this day, you can visit the cemetery where the pilot is alleged to be buried. So this is like pre-Roswell. This is 1897.
Is it on Find a Grave?
I don't know.
Because, like, what are you looking for? Like, a headstone that says Martian?
Well, I don't think... I may be wrong. I don't think there is a headstone that says it's a Martian. I think there's, like, a suspected gravesite. But you can visit the Aurora Cemetery, and that's where he's supposed to be buried. What do you think about this?
Wait, so people just go to a random cemetery in a random small Texas town because a Martian may have been buried there?
Yes. I mean, people drive out to Roswell. We drove to Roswell, and it's a small little town out basically in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's not...
I mean, at least there's, like, paraphernalia to enjoy in Roswell. Like, there's the spaceship McDonald's and aliens everywhere. So you're just going to this town in Texas and visiting a cemetery. They probably have nothing up about the fact that an alien...
They do. There are some light art installations that
really
look like... Yeah, like the typical gray UFO alien head with the big eyes and then, you know, the saucer-shaped UFOs represented in some pictures I've seen. I don't think it's as big as it is in Roswell, where you have, like, you know, alien heads on street lamps going all the way down Main Street. That was really cool. There's not, like, a UFO museum there, but there is the Aurora Cemetery. Most of the paranormal authors that I follow or whose books I enjoy have a picture of themselves somewhere standing in front of that cemetery. So at some point, we got to go out there. You want to do that this weekend?
Click.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, we may have an alien buried here in Texas. Then let's jump Yeah, pretty neat story. Then we're going to jump forward to the Lubbock Lights. Have you ever been to Lubbock?
Not entirely sure. Yes, maybe.
I think we've probably driven around.
I was going to say, I've probably driven through it and stopped there, but not like to Lubbock.
Yeah, so Lubbock, Texas is another relatively remote location compared to a lot of the rest of the country. And we've got a lot of really specific details on this. Recently, the 70th anniversary of this passed. So August 25th, 1951, so just over 70 years ago as of this year. It's pretty cool. At about 9:20 p.m., a group of Texas Tech University professors had gathered for a casual hangout when they saw a group of lights passing overhead. Two other witnesses within the 5 days that followed reported the same thing, saying that they were flying in a V or a chevron formation. They were yellow and blue, very, very bright. And these are between the dates of August 25th and August 30th. So we have three independent sightings occurring over the course of this, not even a week, where people were calling in seeing these lights. And we actually have a picture right here, which I found online, because there were photos taken of the lights. Yeah.
That's so hip.
It is. It is. And these pictures were published in the local newspaper, and they were later featured in Life magazine. So they spread quite a bit. They were a hot topic for a little while there. And I'm surprised that more people don't talk about this as being an infamous UFO case, because we do have pictures of it. The images were analyzed by experts, and they were determined to be undoctored. So whatever we're looking at here in this picture actually appeared over the skies of Lubbock in 1951.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's really cool.
If you've ever seen the Phoenix Lights, are you familiar with that one?
No.
It was another... UFO sighting that's on actually on video, and it's a very large V-shaped.
Oh wait, yes, I have. Yes, I have.
If you've never seen the Phoenix Lights, go look that up, and then you'll be like, I've seen this before. Yeah. But it looks a lot like the Phoenix Lights. And this incident was actually investigated by Project Blue Book, aka Project Grudge, aka Project Sign, the government's secret UFO investigation.
AKA the government knew the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we know that now because the report came out this year and they admitted that they've known the whole time, but anyway. So yeah, we've got two pretty infamous, pretty cool UFO cases in Texas, historically within the last 100 years. Any thoughts so far?
UFOs are real? What do you,
Well, yeah. We know they're real. Well, yeah.
What do you ask?
What do you think about these? Do you think they're compelling cases? Do you think they're not so much? How do you feel about the body in the cemetery?
The body in the cemetery, I don't know how I feel. That's, I feel like if that got out to the government, which if it made it in the Dallas Morning News, it probably did, they wouldn't have allowed that to stay buried in that cemetery.
That's a good point.
So just, you know, that's a thought in my head is if it got, you know, to national news or something, or caught the attention of the government, I don't think they would have allowed a specimen to stay buried in a Texas city.
Like you think they probably went and took it, like if it was there, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think they would have been involved in trying to make sure there was no evidence left behind, I guess, to say.
Because you figure by now somebody would have gone out there at night and
dug it up and whatever it was.
Proved that aliens are real. And I think there was a thing where they wanted to dig it up, but the town wouldn't let them.
Because it's sacred ground.
Because something like that, yeah. Oh, no, I think what it was is there's a rule that you can't exhume. That's the word when you dig up a grave, right? Exhume? Okay. You can't exhume a body in Texas without the permission of the next of kin or something like that.
How would a Martian have a next of kin?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's why he's never been dug up. I think.
And
I
then
think.
The Lubbock Lights, I've heard of the Lubbock, I've heard of the Phoenix Lights, but I didn't know we had our own version of that. That's kind of cool.
I didn't either. I didn't know that till today, actually. I had been doing research on Texas UFO sightings quite a bit over the last couple weeks, just kind of preparing for this conversation. And this article was just posted like a couple weeks ago on August 25th of this year because the 70th anniversary just passed. So pretty cool stuff. Really, really cool stuff. I didn't know about this one before. Going to have to probably do more reading on that in the future. So we're going to jump to the modern day. And by the modern day, I mean 2021, this very year. Sarah, you are, of course, intimately familiar with the career and personal life of Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield and his wife, Emily. Am I correct?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm not either because we don't follow sports at all. And I'll be honest, I hadn't heard of Mr. Mayfield.
I was about to say or ask what sport until you said quarterback.
He's a football boy. A football man.
Because I would not have been able to, if you had not said quarterback, I probably would have.
No, I wouldn't have known.
I mean,
either.
I maybe would have suspected football.
Not to like downplay the importance of his career and his contributions to the human tapestry. You know, I just don't follow sports.
I just wouldn't have known if I didn't see quarterback.
Yeah. But March of this year, early this year, I believe it was March, Mr. Mayfield and his wife, Emily, live in Austin. They're local to us. That's why we're talking about this case. Yeah. They were driving home from dinner at an unspecified location, and they were passing by a portion of Lake Travis when they saw a large, bright, possibly spherical object descending down towards the water, towards Lake Travis. They both saw it. They both tweeted about it. And in a follow-up interview shortly thereafter, I copied this from an article. Mr. Mayfield said, "I am a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch. It is real. I saw it. I'm glad the Navy finally confirmed some more pictures. Now everybody doesn't think I'm crazy. I believe." That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
This is a professional athlete. And I followed him on Instagram. I thought about sending him a DM and asking if he would like to be interviewed before we did this episode. but I didn't do that because I don't like rejection. And he's a famous sports guy, and I just have 1,200 Instagram followers, so I didn't think he'd be interested in talking to me. But Lake Travis is pretty big, Sarah.
It is. It's nice. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah.
Very, very big.
It's a reservoir of the Colorado River, I believe. And at its deepest points, it goes to 210 feet when it's full. Is it? I think it's not full right now.
No.
Yeah, it's low right now because the world is ending. But we have had a lot of rain here lately, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Average depth of Lake Travis is 62 feet. And again, the deepest part is 210 feet. So, I mean, would you allow that there could be some large object and or craft hiding out down there? Maybe that does hide out down there occasionally?
I don't know about hiding out, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they visited there.
Yeah.
I don't know about hiding out.
Like, it seems like a spot where feasibly you could hide a spaceship.
I mean, sure. Maybe. Sure. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Lake Travis is a pretty strange place in and of itself. I actually have some side notes here. Let's see. People go missing there a lot. A lot. And I have an excerpt here from an article from KXAN. I think that's our local NBC affiliate.
I believe so.
I believe, okay. Yeah. Let's see. So this is an excerpt from an article about people who have gone missing. Among those still missing is a couple whose boat turned up empty near Devil's Hollow in 2003. William Crumpacker, a farmer.
That's a mean character.
William Crumpacker? Don't laugh at him.
I'm sorry. That's just a main character if I've ever heard one. Okay, sorry.
Go. William Crumpacker. He was camping with his two young sons and mysteriously disappeared during a late night swim in 1998. Oh, no. Yeah, now you feel bad, don't you?
A little.
Yeah. Be nice to Mr. Crumpacker. He's missing. 4 years before that, Jeffel Hughes was reported missing. This was in 1994. Scott Wynn, I'm not really quoting anymore. I said I was going to read this excerpt. Now I'm just kind of rattling off details. Let me start over. I'm not going to start over. Scott Wynn was windsurfing near Windy Point. Wow. Scott Wynn was windsurfing near Windy Point in 1989 when he vanished. And in 1970... What?
I was going to say that's fun, but then I realized how you finished the sentence.
Well, it's an really interesting alliteration, right?
Yeah.
Scott Wynn was windsurfing near Windy Point in 1989 when he vanished. And then in 1976, three people on a yacht were never seen again after they jumped into the water for an evening swim. And the article goes on. It actually talks about a very modern case within the 2000s where someone went missing. He's a college student. Very sad. Sad story. I decided not to include that one because... we're kind of approaching this with a humorous take, and that's that's a very, very, very recent story. But like, holy shit, Lake Travis is weird.
Yeah, I mean, I personally would not go out there at night.
No.
Not without like, oh god, not without maybe protection.
Yeah. You mean like. What do you mean?
Like, I wouldn't...
like some a people, firearm? Like,
no, I just mean... Well, no, I mean... I wouldn't go canoeing or kayaking at night.
I never goes camping without my firearm. Canoeing. I never goes canoeing without my firearm. That wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. No, but I wouldn't either. It's a very deep body of water.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, this is a cautionary tale...
And the fish aren't afraid of you.
No, they don't care.
They don't care. They bite you.
They don't care. And there are alligators in Lake Travis. Confirmed.
Yes.
There were rumored sightings for years, kind of like there were rumored sightings about alligators.
I don't know. I feel like that's an urban legend, though, because I've heard the urban legend that some man from Austin raised baby alligators, and then once they got too, you know, slightly bigger than he could handle, he just put them in the lake, and now they've multiplied. And
you're right. And it was an urban legend until 2015 when they actually found one. They found a dead alligator on the shores of Lake Travis. I think it was 2015.
2015.
It was within the last 10 years, yeah. It was fairly recent. So that was confirmed to be true. That's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So Lake Travis is a pretty weird place. We got like some missing 411 stuff. We've got UFO sightings. We've got alligators that aren't supposed to be there. We could do a whole segment on Lake Travis, I guess, but maybe that's for another day. I don't know. We've been doing some research on Mount Bunnell, which also has some ghost stories attached to it, and that overlooks the Colorado River, which Lake Travis is a part of. So it's all kind of linked in together there a little bit. Ghosts, disappearances, UFOs. I guess the alligators aren't paranormal.
They're just cool.
They're abnormal because they don't belong here.
They're just cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
You grew up having them in your, you know, ditches in the back. We didn't.
I did.
That's cool.
Had alligators in my backyard a couple of times.
That's so cool.
Not so much when I was younger.
I mean, not like cool in that it's not dangerous.
They are dangerous.
They're very dangerous.
They're mean. We also had coral snakes in our house, eastern coral snakes, when I was a child.
Those can kill you, right?
They're very poisonous, yeah. But they don't have fangs. They have like little saw teeth, like non-venomous snakes. They're weird. They're freaks. They're abominations. They shouldn't exist. Anyway.
What do you do when an alligator's in your backyard? Do you like call 311 and make them come get them?
I mean, yeah, you can call animal control. I think, and I'm flying from the seat of my pants
here. Just like shake a broom at them?
No, you don't want to do that. They can move very, very quickly in a straight line. So when we were kids, they taught us that if you're ever chased by an alligator, you need to run back and forth, like
taught
zigzag.
By who?
Just people.
From Florida?
Yeah. It's just one of those things that people who live in Florida...
talk about?
Talk about, yeah. You zigzag if you're being chased by an alligator.
I just remember you thinking it was crazy when you learned that Texas has its own, like, history and government classes.
Yeah, Texas
so
history.
So now I'm just like, you guys just talk about, like, how to evade alligators.
Yeah. Instead of learning about the history of our state, we learn to survive alligator attacks.
And survive hurricanes.
And survive hurricanes, yeah. Which
that's
usually
cool.
Means either... Yeah, it was pretty cool.
sorry for the segue.
It's a very specific set of life skills that I've yet to have the opportunity to apply outside the context of being a Central Floridian. But,
well, let's go back.
That's a whole nother topic. That's a whole nother conversation, sweetheart. I don't know if the people want to listen in on that. All right. Anyway, so UFOs in Texas.
UFOs.
August of 2021.
Wait, what does UAP stand for again?
UAP is Unidentified Aerial Phenomena.
I like that.
Yeah.
UAPs.
UAPs. And that's the new, I guess, official term is UAP.
I like that. It sounds more official, I guess.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I like it.
I prefer UFO, honestly.
I think I just like the term phenomena, really, because, like, that's what it is. Everyone that you've mentioned so far that is experiencing this sounds like they experience something that very limited select get to experience. So, phenomena.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it is a phenomena. Like, it's not always necessarily a discernible object or a discernible craft.
Because, I mean, at this point in time, your earliest story is set back in what, the 50s? Or wait, no, your earliest story
1897.
Was... 1897. Again, so, like, the percentage of people that have experienced either a UFO sighting or an alien abduction are... Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I like UAPs better.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I will say that, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to use it because I've been using UFOs forever.
Same,
but
yeah. Like, I like the idea.
I like UAP. I like that they changed it. That's cool.
Yeah, I like the idea behind it, but UFO is so ingrained in my consciousness and my vernacular, I don't think I can change it at this point.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I get it. Sorry.
All right, sorry. No, I'm not. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Anyway, so last month, and we're talking August of 2021. We have a sighting in San Antonio, Texas, that, as far as I'm aware, hasn't been covered by any news outlets or online paranormal outlets.
I don't think so.
This sighting was brought straight to us from the witnesses, or by a relative of the witness. And I should, again, this is another case where I want to cite witness credibility before we go too far, because I know these folks. These are good folks. They're honest, salt of the earth, genuinely good, kind people, like... These are genuine people. Like, Sarah, do you remember that time we got into a car accident on the way back from Medina Lake? And we got T-boned in my parents' minivan on this backcountry road. And some folks from the church that we were attending at the time recognized us. They saw us on the side of the road and pulled over. These are those people. Same family. So just like legit, good, nice people. And this is a quote. I'm just going to read this to you as it was sent to me. Address was 11652 Bandera Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78250. Mother and brother-in-law were pumping gas and then saw a cylindrical object in the sky. The object hovered for about 5 minutes. A military helicopter came into view and was flying straight at it when the object separated into two pieces and disappeared. Now, I could play this video back for us. You've seen it. I've shown it to you several times. Mm-hmm. And go to, like, you know, through an arduous explanation of trying to describe it for everybody. But you can actually see video and pictures of this sighting on our Instagram feed.
It's so good. It's such a good clip.
It's really good. It was shot during the day. Cloudy sky, but the clouds... little zoomed in. It's on a cell phone camera. But, I mean, compared to some UFO footage you see...
Yeah.
Which is utter garbage. Like, this is really convincing and really compelling. And what you see is, I guess I should describe it. You see a cylinder hanging in the sky vertically. Kind of looks like it might be moving, like it might be rising into the sky. And then it disappears. It just fades out, disappears from view. And you don't see the military helicopter that was described in the sighting. But you do see the object kind of start to split apart and disappear. It is incredible. A big thank you to JC for sending this to us. A big thank you to his family for sharing it with him and being cool with him sharing it with us. I don't want to share too many names or personal information just for the sake of people's privacy. But thank you to you guys for sending this in to us. What do you think about this? I mean, you've seen the video, you've seen the pictures.
I mean, I think I already said it. It's real. It's real. I mean, I think UFOs are real. I think they've been visiting for a long time. I think we've had situations where they've probably, I don't know if I believe in crop circles. I don't think so.
Crop circles are fake.
I'll
lay that down right.
I want to believe.
So do I.
It's such a cool concept that they come and visit and leave little messages in cornfields. Because when you look at a map, a satellite image of the map, and you get close enough and you see the fields are different colors.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so cool so to awesome. Think of them visiting and like, I'm going to choose that spot. And then they just leave. Fucking nonsense. Like, that's so cool. Yeah. But no, I don't think UFOs leave crop circles.
I'm convinced
anymore.
That crop circles are hoaxes. We know that crop circles are hoaxes. There may be some legitimate cases. To be honest with you, I haven't researched it as thoroughly as I might should have to be commenting on it.
Oh.
But I've read
about...
Because
a couple days ago, I mentioned crop circles, and you said very adamantly that they were fake.
Well,
so,
I just finished...
in taking this topic.
I just
this,
finished...
This change.
No, that's I cool. just finished a book a few, couple months ago where there's an interview with an admitted crop circle hoaxer. But this guy, if I remember right, he also said he believed in crop circles and...
I just think it's cool. If you believe in aliens and you believe in UFOs, you believe that they visit. Like,
sure.
Why can't they leave us a little message?
Well, they totally can. Cool. Wait, so you're reversing tack on this one. You're saying you think crop circles are paranormal.
I started by saying I don't know. So I could flip-flop and do whatever I want. So
no
there.
One said you can't.
Well, but...
You're an adult American woman. You can do whatever you want.
That's what I'm saying.
You need my permission.
I could believe it. I want to believe that the aliens and UFOs leave crop circles.
I respect your opinion.
Mel Gibson said they did.
Yeah, Mel Gibson did say that.
I'm kidding.
And Joaquin Phoenix. Who else was in that movie?
I don't remember. I know it was a Culkin.
Was there a Culkin?
Yeah.
Culkin?
A Culkin. I don't remember.
Hmm. Was it the Party Monster Culkin, or was it...
No, it wasn't
the,
Mac. It was...
The one that was in the... wasn't there one in Scott Pilgrim?
That's Kieran.
That's a
Kieran?
Culkin?
That's Kieran Culkin. I think that was Rory Culkin,
okay.
To be honest with you.
I didn't know there were that many. All right, anyway, so I don't think crop circles are really paranormal. I think they're hoaxes. That was the point here.
Whatever.
But cylindrical UFOs,
cigar-shaped...
That's
so cool, because for years and years, all you ever heard about was the saucers. So I like this, like, vertical... I think I've even seen some pictures of possible, like, what is it? Lateral or horizontal?
Yeah,
horizontal
cigar-shaped craft. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of precedent for that. In fact, Indrid Cold. Are you familiar with Indrid Cold, Sarah?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I've harped about him for a long time. If you're not super familiar with Indrid Cold, he's basically an either interdimensional or extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial or super advanced species time travel or something. We don't really know. But he landed his cigar-shaped craft across the highway and engaged in conversation with a gentleman named Woodrow Derenberger. He was capable of telepathy. He was kind of strange and kind of weird. But he flew a cigar-shaped craft, a cigar-shaped UFO.
So he's supposed to be the demon chicken thing?
What? Are you talking about the dancing devil from episode one? No! No, he's a strange guy.
You're talking about the picture of the UFO. I understand. Yeah. I'm back in it with you. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, I'm here.
I don't know where you went.
I'm here. You'd have to cut that out. I don't know where I went.
So what I'm saying here is there's a lot of precedent, a lot of anecdotes, and a lot of evidence regarding encounters with cigar-shaped or cylindrical UFOs or UAPs, including the Indrid Cold case, which is one of the more infamous extraterrestrial possible visitation cases.
Aliens? Are we talking about aliens now?
Yeah. I mean, nobody knows who or what Indrid Cold is or was. Maybe an alien. We don't know.
Cool.
We don't know. But yeah, Woodrow Derberger. So then you take this historically, there's historical context for it. That's pretty cool. But there's another sighting in the modern day, as in this year. In New Mexico, a cylindrical object was sighted by the crew of an American Airlines commercial flight.
So all of a sudden, they're all cylindrical. That's cool.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I just searched Texas UFO sightings, and I went deep into Google, you guys. I went to, like, results page 5. I went deep.
Wow, you went past the E?
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
I basically went on the dark web.
Don't even mention that.
I basically used a Tor browser and
no!
hacked into the dark web through a proxy server. Hack the planet. All right. So, and here's a quote from the American Airlines pilot. This was actually captured by a guy who was using... He's like a radio...
Wait, if it was an American Airlines pilot, wouldn't he have been able to get the, like, radar footage?
Well, so the recording of the audio from the cockpit that I'm about to read to you, the thing that the pilot actually said, I guess a guy not affiliated with American Airlines, not affiliated with the airport, just like a private enthusiast, was able to pick up this radio frequency while he was scanning for something else, like the airplane equivalent of a police scanner, I guess. Okay. But this is what he recorded the guy saying, and you can hear this audio online. I hate to say this, but it looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing, moving really fast right over the top of us. And this is New Mexico, not Texas, but they're a pretty close neighbor.
Yeah.
They're not far away.
I think they're like 6 hours from... Yeah, from us.
Yeah. Okay. Roswell's an 8-hour drive from Austin. I looked that up.
I mean, we've been there.
Since I was getting ready for this. Yeah, and also we've made that drive. But pretty interesting. We have two cylindrical UFO and or UAP sightings in the southwestern United States within the last year.
It was Jeff Bezos.
I mean, maybe.
He was testing out his missile.
Jeffrey Bezos. Really, though, like, what do you think? Do you think there could be some connection here? Like,
I mean, I think Texas is known for having big, wide open skies, so I feel like there's an opportunity for us to see more. I think that's why you didn't even mention, like, Marfa lights. Not that those have anything really to do with aliens, but a lot of people a lot of people thought they were in the very beginning. I mean, a lot of people, people who believed in aliens would go there and hope to see something, be picked up, meet something.
We're going to do an episode on Marfa. That's why I didn't want to talk too much about it. Because we're actually going to go there and record audio from Marfa.
But I mean, am I surprised by any of this? Absolutely not. Texas is huge. It has so much space. It's so big. It's so wide. It's so open that if you were to get, to hill country, even to the desert. I mean, we have the desert. We have hill country. We have the ocean. Mm-hmm. We have everything in... Yeah, we could definitely see something. I think this is all just proof, I guess, that they're out there.
They're out there. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't meet many people who will say I don't believe in UFOs.
Yeah.
I
feel like that's...
Even before the Senate Intelligence Report came out earlier this year, I wasn't running into many people that would say, I can't think of anybody who's looked me dead in the eye and said, no, I don't believe in unidentified things in the sky. You know, not necessarily aliens or extraterrestrials, but shit in the sky we can't classify or identify because we don't know what it is. You know? I think it's common knowledge at that point that that's an actual thing. But I just love finding these little connections and commonalities, like the Lubbock lights looking a lot like the Phoenix lights, you know, and then these two cylindrical UFO sightings.
Just this year alone.
Just this year,
and I'm sure there's more. There could be something smaller. I mean, so cool.
Like, I'm sure there are other people in San Antonio who saw, you know, the vertical cylinder that we were talking about earlier, that didn't report it.
I was going to say, you also have to think about those people, like me, when I'm driving, I'm not really paying attention to, you know what I mean? I could buy that people see it and then they're just so desensitized to things because just fast moving things, like how fast stuff goes. And
San Antonio, I'll be, you know, let's be fair. San Antonio is a military city. There are multiple air bases.
Yep.
In and around San Antonio. So the prospect of this being some kind of experimental military craft or some kind of drone, like, that's not off the table.
Who's Jeffrey Bezos?
Jeffrey Bezos. But I think what we can agree is that please go look at this video, folks. I'm not just trying to get you to follow us on Instagram, which you should, because I update that pretty regularly. That's where you can see all our updates. But go check out this video, and I'll repost it probably whenever this episode launches within the next few days here. Today's September the something. I'll reshare that video just to make it easier to get to. But go check it out. Look at it and tell us what you think, because I've watched it no fewer than 200 times. And I still just, like, I'm captivated by it. It's very,
that's
very
interesting.
That's
what I'm saying.
Phenomena.
So cool. Yeah. I didn't know that's what the P stood for.
Yeah.
So cool.
So this is kind of where we conclude for the week. I didn't really have a thesis for us here. I didn't really have an overarching message. What I wanted to do, though, is just highlight some commonalities in these sightings and sort of place them in a historical context. Like, 2021 is not necessarily a new and groundbreaking year for UFO, UAP phenomena in Texas. It's more a continuation of a pattern. And there are more sightings. There's more stuff out there. These are just the big ones that I kind of wanted to focus on to sort of draw a line from the late 1800s to now, 2021. What do you think about all that?
I mean, we're not even finished with the year yet. We're only 69%.
Yeah. Is it really 69%?
Yeah.
Did you figured that out?
No, I looked. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I figured it out by looking it up, yeah.
とても面白いですよね. 楽しい! Okay. Final thoughts for this episode? Like, did you have anything you'd like to share at the conclusion with the people?
I'm concluding.
Thank you for tuning into Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
My name is Sarah.
I've had a great time. Have you had fun?
Yes, it's been pretty fun.
This has been a fun topic. Join us next time for, I honestly don't know what we're talking about next time. I don't have any idea. We may stick with the Texas theme. We may go to something new. I don't really know.
I don't know.
We're going to talk about something, though.
I don't know.
And we will see you there. Sayonara!